Hello, everybody, and welcome to Amateur Dork Cinema. I almost said another digital citizen, another digital cinema. Amateur Dork Cinema is what it is. Same letters, different title, new podcast. How's it going, everybody?
It's so hard to remember what the podcast is named.
Fro is here, and Triv is here. Hi.
Hello!
Hello! Hello!
Yeah.
Say hello to my little friend.
I'm Triv.
That's I'm what Pro, we said apparently. Last week, right? Last week, yeah. When we ended the show, I was like, I think you're Triv, and then we left. Yeah.
And people have been waiting with bated breath to figure out if I'm Fro or if I'm Triv. And if you're Friv.
Yeah,
if you're Friv, yeah, exactly.
That's who I am. I'm Friv. And you're Fro, and he's Triv. Yeah, and I'm Friv.
You could also be Took or Fluke. Fluke.
I'm Miss Friv, and I go into the colon with the school bus and all that. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Was that child abuse? That was child abuse, right? What that woman did to those children?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just wondering.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely child abuse.
It's only abuse if you're not having fun.
I don't think that's true.
That's true, yeah.
Pretty sure that's very far from the truth.
Fine. Have it your way. That's you woke people. You're woke like rogue's ass.
You woke liberals.
You're so woke. I mean, I'm from Norway, so I have to be woke. It's in our constitution.
Well, there you go. Yep. It's good to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of woke, The Neverending Story from the 80s. Was that movie woke? I think that might have been one of the most woke movies.
Well, we have done a very good trivial theater about that.
Yes, well, that's the second one. That one's not woke or unwoke. That will just leave you sleeping.
And confused, yeah.
Yes.
So fucking confused.
And it didn't even take place in Norway.
Yeah.
Well, it could have. So it's a possibility. We don't really... Yeah, like, part of it could have been in Norway. There's certain parts that were in New York or Chicago or something. Right.
Yeah, nothing in that movie looked anything similar to Norway.
You don't have trees? Wow.
No, we don't have trees. We're very known for that.
The thing about the never-ending story is that it's never-ending, and also a story. But the never-ending part is important because...
Good transition.
According to Variety, the never-ending story is getting a reboot. The fantasy movie adaptation of the never-ending story will take form of a multi-film live-action series as opposed to the animated version. What? It will be co-produced... by Seesaw Films and Michael End Productions. Yeah, I guess this series really is never ending. It's a never ending. It's just going to go on and on, my friends.
Haven't you?
Someone started singing
yourself,
it.
Yeah, haven't you always thought to yourself, "Oh gosh, I wish they would remake one of the best children's movies of all time, The Neverending Story." Oh, you haven't thought about that? Oh.
It's based
on they're doing The Crow. That was another, famous children's movie too, so.
No, that's not a children's movie. I think you have been abused as a child.
Well, shit.
The trailer didn't look too bad for The Crow, actually.
No, it totally didn't.
I was surprised because I'm expecting the worst, which I still don't have high hopes, but Neverending Story, I don't. Like, the original is so goofy, how are they gonna... They're gonna fuck this up, for sure. I can see them doing okay. This Neverending Story, I can't see how they're not gonna make it ridiculous. Yeah.
Is it a little bit weird that every time you say that, I want to sing a Neverending Story?
No, it's a very catchy song, so I'm not surprised at all.
So are they going to take a Peacemaker and liven up Lamar to make the remake of that song then for that movie?
They will have to do a remake. It'll probably be Drake.
Little John comes in and
Little
goes,
Little John and
yeah. Story, yeah!
Yeah!
They will have to update
it. I'm here with my dragon. He's so cool.
They will have to update it somehow for 2024, so we'll see how that works out. I'm not sure how that'll be.
It'll be like a like an enchanted tablet instead of a book.
Yeah. What year did you say it was going to be, Luke?
What year it was going to be out?
Yeah.
I have not seen that. They just have released that they're going to make it. I don't think they've even started making it or anything else. Yeah.
So it's a little like the Harry Potter remake, because I really want that as well.
The TV show? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Who the fuck needs it?
It just hasn't been like... long enough, in my opinion, to make a remake. Right. Like, yeah. Neverending Story, at least it's been, what, 40-something years?
Something like that, yeah.
And Harry Potter, when the last one came out, maybe 10 years ago or something?
Yeah, less.
Yeah, something like that.
But the first one would have been 15 years ago or something. It's still just not enough time for...
like, nostalgia?
There's other things you can remake before that. Like, I mean, what's... There's movies that haven't even been made based on properties. Like, Duke Nukem, the video game?
Yeah.
How have they never made a movie on that, and yet we're remaking Neverending Story, right?
And why you know are what? We not getting a remake of, for example, Goonies? I mean...
That's a good question.
Oh, they are remaking Goonies, right?
Are they? Yeah. Holy shit! You know what? They remade the Toxic Avenger. So if that can be remade, I guarantee you everything is up for grabs.
We should remake
I thought you were
going to
say they remade Taxi.
That's what I thought you were going to say too.
No, well, he's known offhandedly as True. Oh, God. It's when you get Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD that you know that you've hit rock bottom as far as remakes.
Speaking of rock bottom, I guess, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, guilty of manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, in Rush shooting. We talked about this last month, and definitely, I think this gives us an idea of what's going to happen with the Alec Baldwin trial. Don't you guys think? I don't know.
I would say.
Oh, yeah. She was very good paid to say, it was all my fault, I swear.
One of the producers testified in this trial and said, it wasn't her fault, it was my fault.
Yeah.
But a New Mexico jury found...
I'm Spartacus!
No, I'm Spartacus.
It feels a little like that, right?
Yeah, it does, a little bit, yeah.
Well, and this could go one of two ways. They could either look at Alec Baldwin and go, well, we need to make an example of him because, you know, big Hollywood celebrity. Or, you know, the quote, Hollywood cabal is going to come in and take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
It says she's going to face up to 18 months in state prison when she is sentenced later. A judge ordered that she be taken into custody and held until sentencing, which now she has been sentenced, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gutierrez showed little emotion. She took off a necklace before deputies put her in custody. They are appealing this, is what I'm to understand. So we have to see what happens with that. But she got up to 18 months. So that's not that long for involuntary manslaughter, really.
No. And I think that's why she's been like, oh, I swear, it's my fault. Because when she comes out, Mr. can just give her a little bit money under the table. It feels a little like that.
Yeah.
It says a nearly two-week criminal trial centered on the shooting of the Russet when actor Baldwin had held a prop gun and fired a live round of ammunition, which another thing that was revealed in this court case or this trial, the distributor who distributed the actual blanks to them, to her, specifically Gutierrez Reed, bought the blanks from this guy. He said he didn't sell them any live rounds, so he doesn't know how it got in there. So somewhere in that weird line, chain of, you know, custody of the bullets in between her, him and her, live rounds got added, and we still don't know how that happened. That's the weird part about the whole situation.
Very, very odd.
Can I go back to the taxi thing? Do you guys remember who was in the remake? Because I actually had to Google it. It's Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon.
What?
Yes, they were in the remake from 2000.
Oh my god.
I think that was a totally different movie that wasn't based on that. That was called Taxi, but yeah, I did see that movie. It was bad.
It was terrible.
It was not actually a spinoff, though, just to be clear.
It was a remake of the Luc Besson movie Taxi, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of the TV show Taxi.
Oh, I was thinking of the movie.
That's why we're getting
Taxi Driver.
We were all okay. I was like, we could totally remake the TV show Taxi. Danny DeVito's still alive, and yeah.
Wasn't Christopher Lloyd in that too?
Yeah, he was totally crazy person. Yeah, and
it hasn't changed.
And what's his name? Andy.
Warhol, not Warhol. The guy that did Here,
Man on the Moon,
Save the Day. Yeah. Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was in that.
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, and he's not dead. So.
Yeah, and totally he didn't play a completely racist character in that also. So.
Yep. It's all good. No problems for 2024 or 2025.
I actually have some downloaded Taxi episodes on my phone, just in case I'm stuck somewhere without internet, because it stands up as a show.
It's such a good show.
Very funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how they would use AI in a remake of the Taxi TV show. I guess they could have Andy Kaufman back in there as an AI Andy Kaufman Lotka, right?
He could be the Andy Kaufman bot.
It's like they do an updated version where it's in the future, so it's like Futurama type Taxi. I could see that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
And it's just his head in a little jar, like fixing cars.
See? This is why.
But AI has been found to be used on Late Night with the Devil, which has been getting positive hype after being in South by Southwest Film Festival. Premiering, the film has 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Tomatoes? Yeah. Did I just say tomatoes?
Tomatoes.
You did say tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. You gotta love them there, tomatoes-y. Yeah.
However, a new twist on AI art has led to social media backlash against the film. The trailer showed fictional footage of a 1970s late night show supposedly possessed girl attempting to boost ratings following a series of horrific events. In conjunction with our amazing graphics and this is a quote from the directors, production and design team, all whom worked tirelessly to give this a 70s aesthetic, we always imagined we'd experiment with AI for three still images, which we edited further and ultimately appear very brief in the film. So it's not even like video AI. It's just
It's background.
Yeah, it's really been a point of contention for folks, because a lot of people are like, it's a jumping off point for bigger things.
Sure,
but it's also it's such a tiny thing, especially to an independent movie. This isn't like something from Disney or Universal or whatever. So it is I think you can see both sides of it, and I don't know, hopefully it's a cautionary tale, but I hope it doesn't hurt it, because it does look like a fantastic movie.
I don't think it's going to hurt it in that, I've always said AI is only a problem when you use it as a finished product, instead of using it as a tool to create a finished product, which is what they're doing here. Right?
To be fair, you have never really had me on this podcast. Look, I am just an AI of yours.
So. Holy holy balls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're very lifelike.
I know.
Impressive.
I just went and interviewed every single person from Norway and fed it into an AI. Luckily, there aren't that many people in Norway, so.
Wow.
That was a joke, obviously.
So, Fro, you are a lot of the spirit of Norway.
Sorry. I
am spirit of Norway.
Does that mean Santa is actually an AI? He's the spirit of Christmas, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not only am I a member, I'm also the president of Norway Spirit AI.
I think the other thing...
All of Norway is AI.
No, that's Finland.
damn. Shots fired.
Well, Finland doesn't actually exist. It's just AI.
Neither does Australia, apparently.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. It doesn't.
That's true, yeah.
it's a giant AI. It's biggest AI out there.
Absolutely.
I feel like with the Disney comparison you made, it would be harder to detect just because they have so much more money to have a quality AI that you're never going to see, where this one was more obvious because it's a lower budget film. So I think that also adds to the allegation parts of it. Yeah.
Well, actually, it was the first indication of AI across the board was Secret Wars from Disney or from Marvel. Like that got run under the rate, or kind of railed last year when it came out because it used AI pretty significantly, but enough for people to go, hey, you guys can afford this? What the hell's going on? So, and of course, I think it was during the strikes as well, which didn't help. Or it was released during the strikes, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that would be the worst.
I watched a Wish, and that was terrible. And probably written by AI.
I don't think it's been proven, but yeah, there's definitely rumors about that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so it was Secret Invasion, not Secret Wars, and it was the opening that was generated by AI. So that's kind of how it hit. And it was 9 months ago, so yeah, it would have been in the middle of
the opening, meaning like the opening credits?
Opening credits, yeah.
See, that I see as a little less problematic than the actual film, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to make a Bond film and then just make the Bond opening credit scene with AI, I don't have a problem with that, you know?
Yeah.
But Ruby Slippers in The Wizard of Oz, was that AI?
Yes. Back in 1938.
They're going to make...
or sorry, 39.
They're going to remake Wizard of Oz next, because that is something that really needs to be remade. Oh, wait, they're doing that? Wicked? Okay.
Wicked, I'm actually looking forward to as far as, to see what they do. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting.
So. Yeah, no controversy from the actors on that film at all.
Nope, not really. Hey, you know what? Any press is good press when it comes to that, so...
We talked about that last week. Tell me about the slippers.
We talked about this when the first man was charged with this on Another Digital Citizen a while ago.
Long time ago.
A second man was charged in connection with the theft of a pair of ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz, worn by Judy Garland. They were originally in the Judy Garland Museum and had been on loan from museum... in August 2005 for what meant to be a 10-week viewing, but the shoes were swiped a week later. Upon receiving the shoes, they handed them over to Heritage Auctions after they recovered them in 2018. So now these stolen slippers are going up for auction. So that should be interesting to see how much they go for, but Terry John Martin pleaded guilty to the theft of major artwork, admitting to using a hammer to break the museum's glass door display case. In January, the 76-year-old time served due to his declining health. So if this was in 2005, which is 10 years ago, he still would have been 65 years old when he stole these slippers.
But you see, he was a cross-dresser and really wanted a pair of new shoes.
I hope he had small feet, because I can't think that Judy Garland had small feet. I imagine she did.
And you know what I say about men with small shoes? They get small feet.
I was going to say small socks, but that works too.
Knowing the working conditions on the Wizard of Oz set, I wouldn't be surprised if they did some kind of Chinese foot binding to get her in the
motion.
Right.
That movie
even back
was...
then, they had women working in heels and they kicked ass.
Exactly. Yeah, that movie has a lot for it. Jesus Christ. I saw a documentary about the making of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Not even a question.
Especially that little person who hung himself. Jerry Hall Salterman, who allegedly... assisted Martin in hiding the slippers, was charged last Friday with a major theft of artwork and witness tampering. He allegedly threatened to release a sex tape of a woman if she spoke about the slippers to the FBI, according to the indictment.
Was this in the sex movie?
No, he had a sex tape of a woman who knew that they stole the slippers, and to keep her from...
Yeah, but I wish they had the slippers on in the sex movie.
In the sex movie. That's possible. It doesn't say they didn't, right? Yeah.
There you go.
I have a feeling these are going to go for more than they would have if they wouldn't have been stolen. Because they now have, like, a really cool background story besides just being from The Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Yeah. Jim,
how much would you pay for them?
I would pay shit for them.
I'd give you $5.
Okay. Yeah, 10.
I would take them, but I would take them to resell them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, same.
You have seen those sneakers shows on TV, right?
Hype beast.
Give them to Hype Beast, yeah.
All right, last month we did Oscar and Razzie predictions. It's been a while since that happened, but now we're going to do the results. Most people probably know the Oscar results, but if you're listening, maybe don't know the Razzie results? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with that.
I don't think a lot of people follow the Razzies, necessarily, you know? It's not on TV, and unless you're really paying attention to it, I don't think a lot of people see it.
Yeah, more than not, it's, the Razzies suck, they're outdated, etc., which they are, but, you know, people will be people, so.
Should I take the Oscars and you take the Razzies, Trev?
Yeah, and then I'm going to mark down scores for us as we go, so.
Okay, starting with the documentary, 20 Days in Marpool won.
We all got a point there. Everybody.
Hooray!
I think that was, like, super obvious, right? I don't think anybody was thinking it was going to go any other way.
Okay, what's the next one?
Best animated feature?
Yes.
Yeah, that is The Boy and the Heroin.
I was like, okay.
Better than The Boy and the Hemorrhoid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got a point there. Yeah.
Woohoo.
Best adapted screenplay was American Fiction.
Woohoo.
And both of you got a point there, and I did not. So we're back to being tied. That was a good play there.
Yeah.
By best original screenplay went to Autonomy of a Fall.
Very good movie.
And you guys both got a point there. So you're both up by one. Tied.
Best supporting actress went to Devine Joy Rudolph for The Holdovers.
Woohoo!
Which Triv goes up by a point on that one.
Best supporting actor goes to Robert Downey Jr. because Oppenheimer.
Okay, and Triv and I get a point there. Triv is
best
overtaking right now.
Best actress goes to Emma Stone for Poor Things.
And I get a point there, making a slight comeback. Now we're Fro 3, Me 4, Triv 5. But we got a long ways to go. We should say, Triv, we combined the Oscars and the Razzies into one big score.
Oh, good.
Okay, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Best actor goes to Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer.
Oh, and me and Fro got a point there. We're making a comeback, Fro.
Best director goes to Christopher Nolan.
And me and Fro also get a point there. Which puts me up by one. And Fro is now tied with Triv.
And best picture goes to Oppenheimer.
Poppy, we all got a point there.
Hooray!
Okay, Triv. Your turn.
Alrighty. For your Razzies, going in order, so we've got worst screenplay is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
I got a point there. You guys had picked Exorcist and Indiana Jones. Okay.
Yep. Worst remake or sequel or ripoff, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
And Fro got a point there.
All right.
Which makes you guys not tied anymore. Fro's up by one on you, and I'm up by one on Fro. It's all still really close.
It is. I'm chewing my fingernails as we speak. Worst screen combo is Pooh and Piglet as bloodthirsty slasher/killers. So Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
I get a point there.
All right. Worst supporting actress, Megan Fox for Expend4ables.
And I get another point there. Oh my gosh.
You're running away.
I think that one was one of the ones that I was like, I'm going to pick this one just to be different. I'm surprised by that one.
Worst supporting actor goes to Sylvester Stallone for Expend4ables.
None of us picked that one. That's the first one nobody got a point, actually, which is surprising.
Yeah, that is surprising.
Absolutely. Okay, worst actress is Megan Fox for Johnny and Clyde.
And neither of us got a point there. But I think none. Oh, did any of us see that movie?
Nope.
No.
No. Okay, that's why.
Worst actor is John Voight in Mercy.
None of us got a point there. Okay.
Oh, man. We're zero for however many.
We're sticking it up.
Worst... Yeah, exactly. Well, just like the Razzies. worst director was John Frank Waterfield for Winnie the Pooh.
None of us got a point there.
We're no, really for Reese. Yes, no, for the worst director. Yeah, you guys did for Reese.
Oh, sorry. What? We'd... Say the name again. I must
Reese?
Have heard it wrong.
So I was Reese Frank Waterfield, but I think you put in first name instead of last on that
that's
one.
That's why. Okay, so me and Fro get a point there. All right.
Yep, absolutely. And your worst pitcher, according to the Razzies, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
And I got an. I ran away with it this year. Oh my god.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, usually it's so indeed. Much closer because I don't know. I think the few times where I was like, I'm gonna be different just to be different, might have given me the win this year. I is what I'm thinking. Yeah,
I'll take it for what it's worth, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, there was a couple times where I was like, you know, I'm just gonna do this because it seems like it could win, but also I don't want to be the same, and maybe it'll give me the advantage. Yeah. So ended up 6 for Triv, 8 for Fro, and 12 for me. Yeah.
Jesus Christ Almighty, double.
I did double Triv, yeah.
Congratulations.
Holy
crap.
This
is me being the newbie. I need to up my game.
I'm usually terrible at these guessing games also, so.
Yes, I am, usually lose us.
I usually am really bad at them, yeah.
Mm.
We should talk about the Oscars, I guess. I mean, I didn't really watch it. I saw parts of it. Anybody else watch?
I have seen nothing.
Triv?
Oh, I watched the whole thing because I'm
good.
A weirdo.
So we have one person here who watched it. I watched the opening two of them because I was at my parents' house. They had it on the background. I was helping out with dinner. So I wasn't like watching, but it was on. I thought it was interesting the way they did the presentations. What did I say to you, Fro? I said they kind of American game showified it where they have to tell the backstory of each contestant before they play the game. Did you notice that, Triv?
Yeah.
No. But what?
Did you? Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. No, I actually kind of liked that just because it felt not that, you know, you had like the kind of previous people and stuff, and it did kind of add a little bit to it. I kind of appreciated that just because it was something a little different, and it felt not that Hollywood is at all personalized, but it kind of was a cool thing. Because at least in some cases, they were people that were associated with the nominees. Emma Stone, when she was up, they had, what's her name? Sally Field, which she was with, or she acted with in, like, Spider-Man and things like that. So some of those connections were cool.
Have you seen, it just reminds me of those game shows recently where they have to tell the backstory of every single contestant, which they did here. And then inevitably, one of these contestants is just going to lose right away. So you've learned all this backstory and connected with them, right? And now they lose. And you're like, right. So that's what I think is really awkward about it is they're like telling this huge backstory and then the person loses. And you're like, okay.
I will say it ran short this year, which... I mean, short in terms of Oscar speech is still probably an hour too long, but Jimmy Kimmel got some flack at the start. I don't remember exactly for what, but it was like any award show. It's goofy and people are weird and you're never going to win a crowd in most cases for those things. So Ryan Gosling singing amazing. Oh, my God. That was fantastic. Really.
But I think the most fun thing was John Cena coming up naked.
That
was really, really, really good.
And the biggest, I wouldn't say the biggest controversy, because there was like the speech by the director at one point talking about Gaza, but this was like, there was all these conspiracies about John Cena coming out naked. Did you see any of the... This is an Illuminati initiation or something. It's pretty good. I love those kind of conspiracies. They're like that. They're so unhinged that you're like, it's just funny. It's not actually dangerous. It's just funny.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure that there were those people that were like, oh, it's nakedness on TV. How dare they? But you know, it's But it what was are kids doing so watching funny. The Oscars?
Yeah, but it was done so funny, and it was done so, like, oh, he was doing it for costume, and that fit so good with definitely. Him coming out naked. Oh, yeah.
It totally did. It was probably one of the better, like, one of the more inspired ways of doing things. But frankly, I mean, my screen was just blank that whole time. I didn't see anybody.
Okay, I have seen some movies this week.
Yeah, why don't you start?
I'm going to start with a musical look, okay. Because I know you love them. You see all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I'm going to start with Mean Girls, the musical.
Ah!
I really dig this. I really thought it was a fun musical. If you like the original, I think you will like this. The music was great. It was some fun cameos. Lindsay Lohan had a cameo in it. Busy Phillips was in it. Like, a lot of, like, people that you would know from that era was in it. Tina Fey was in it. For 2 seconds, Jenna Fisher was in it. But the music snapped and I liked it. I will give it actually a 7.
Wow, there you go. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, just for context, what would you have given the original Mean Girls? Just for context.
Eight and a half.
8.5? Okay, good to know.
It's definitely, it defined an era, that movie.
Love that movie.
Speaking of John Cena, let's talk about Ricky Stenicki. Did you guys see this at all?
I have not.
Okay, this had a bunch of good people. It had Andrew Santino, John Cena, Zac Efron, mm-hmm. Jeremy Fowler, who I really like. He was mostly a TV guy, but this had William H. Macy and other people in it. It's about a group of childhood friends who from childhood have blamed a fake friend of theirs whenever they do something wrong. So they, break mm-hmm. a window with a baseball. They're like, oh, it was Ricky, but he just ran off. So you just gotta... It wasn't our fault. It was Ricky. But then growing up, they just continue to do this into their relationships where they're lying to their girlfriends about going to baseball games and things like that, saying, oh, Ricky got sick, we gotta go visit him in the hospital, something like that, right?
Yeah, he got cancer in this one.
To go to
laid it on thick. Yeah.
They went to some concert of an artist I totally know, but I'm blanking on right now. And they have to lie and say he got cancer, but then the lie gets really confusing because they're gonna get married and they want his wife or fiance, I suppose, wants Ricky to come to the wedding. And that's when everything mm-hmm. gets really confusing, and they meet John Cena, and it goes from there. Well, this got 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was a fun, goofy, kind of dude, bro, friend, what's the word for it? Buddy comedy. That's the word I'm looking for.
Nice. Yeah.
I really, really liked it. I think his John Cena's performance as Sonicky was amazing. And one of the most funny things was his remakes of songs into songs where we're doing them with, like, jerking off or everything had to do with sex. That was so funny.
He does, like, a one-man show based around masturbation. Right.
Yes.
Except oh my god.
He's doing cover songs so based around John Cena probably was the best part. Most everybody else in it was kind of mediocre, but the movie was very funny. It's definitely like a 6.5. What do you think, Fro?
I gave it a 6.5 as well.
Yeah. Huh. A lot of the scores are way lower, but that's what I think.
I think it's such a personal thing when it comes to ratings like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Trip.
All right. So I saw, of all places on Tubi, they started doing like originals, and there was, I guess, a campy comedy horror movie called Slay that came out.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh my God. I went in not knowing what to expect. I just saw someone talking about it on Twitter, and it's like, absolutely have to check it out. It was so fun. It's like Like yeah. one part RuPaul's Drag Race, one part from yep. Dusk Till Dawn, one oh. part to Julie Newmar, thanks for everything. Sorry, so to Wong Fu, thanks for everything. Anyway, yeah. But, oh my God, it just... I did not expect to have as much fun with that as I did. Like, the one-off lines, as you would expect from a really seasoned, like drag queen, it just... Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was so fun. Mm-hmm. At one point, like, the one guy goes, I've got vampire in my mouth. Because these mm-hmm. vampires, when they go up, they kind of blow up the way they do in other movies, but there's, like, a really, like, glitter element to it, and... It's just stuff comes out of left and right field. It's just a ton of fun. The basic synopsis is after a booking mistake, four drag queens find themselves performing for a mostly unwanting or unwelcoming crowd. But when the vampires attack, the crowd looks to the queens to save the day. There's one gag towards the end that involves a silicone implant, and I lost it at that. Oh, it's just...
I laughed so loudly at that. It was so fun. And as you said, like, this was out of nothing. I found it very randomly. And I was like, this is probably going to be stupid. But it was so fun.
Oh, it was. And, you know, I think with anything that's that campy... And I don't care what the subject matter is. It's either going to come off as, like, really, really well done, or it's just going to be terrible. And that's kind of comedy horror to start with. But this was done, and I would say 90% of the gags landed. There was, I mean, it's worth a rewatch just to see all of the things that you missed just in the dialogue.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It doesn't have a Rotten Tomatoes score, but it got a 7 out of 10 for IMDb. So I think that says a lot about it out of 148 reviews. But yeah, the drag queens were amazing. The you know, it has a little social commentary, but again, I think that kind of comes with the territory. It kind of grows into that. It doesn't, like, you know, pop out of left field or anything. So it was very enjoyable. I would probably give it a 7, I think.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.5, actually. I really liked it.
Nice.
Okay, Fro.
Well, from something extremely good to something extremely shit, I guess. Imaginary. Jesus Christ almighty.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good in the trailer, but everybody says it's bad. Yeah.
Ah.
It is so bad. I had pretty high hopes for this. I mean, it's a Lionsgate and what's the company?
Blumhouse.
No, not Bloomberg.
Blumhouse. Yeah.
Blumhouse. Thank you. This has a 4.8 out of 10, a 24% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 34% on Metacritic. It's about Jessica, and she moves to her childhood home, and her youngest stepdaughter Alicia finds this stuffed bear named Chauncey, and is the bear alive, maybe? And it gives her things to do, and it is probably one of the worst Bloomberg movies I have ever seen. I'm at Rotten Tomatoes. I will give it a 2.5, actually. It was that awful. Wow. Yeah.
I still want to see it for some reason, even though you say... Like, everybody says it's super bad, but I still want to see it. It's weird.
Oh, you have to see it because it's so bad.
Because it's so bad,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's it's so bad it's actually worth seeing.
Okay.
Nice.
Me and Fro watched Spaceman together earlier this month.
Oh!
Oh my God.
Did you see this, Triff?
I have not, no.
Well, it's got Adam Sandler, Paul Dano, Carey Mulligan.
I've heard of it, just never. I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts.
It was pretty boring.
I loved it.
It's about a guy who goes... He is an astronaut who's going to... What did they say? Is he going to Mars? He's a Czech astronaut flying through space to go to some destination and come back. It leaves you questioning whether he's completely losing his mind or whether what's happening in this scenario is actually happening. So the whole time, he and the viewer, you, are going, okay, is what he's seeing real, or is what he's seeing in his own mind? And then there's flashbacks to his relationship with his wife and kid, and yeah, it's kind of depressing, but at the same time, it's got a lot of meaning. But it's very drawn out and very strangely paced. That's the way I'll put it. The acting is pretty good, actually. I mean, it's one of his Adam Sandler, I mean, better dramatic roles. Yeah, but it's like a super, like, there's certain parts of it that are great and other parts of it that are terrible. I'm going to give this a 5, right in the middle, which I think is pretty on par. Yeah, 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, 55% on Metacritic. So, like, it's pretty middle. I think everybody's kind of thinking the same thing. Like, there's really good things about it, and then there's the dialogue and the pacing. Yeah.
It's a movie that I got. When I talk about, like, movies I like, this is one of those movies that I bought into hook, like, and sinker. I liked it so much more than Luke did. I do agree with all fucking things. I think one of the things is that it was so depressing, and I think, spoiler alert, I guess, that the spider was so in it, and I liked their conversations and things like that, and I liked how the spider communicated with him and things like that. I am not going to say it's the best movie I ever seen or anything, but I really liked it. I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, it's not winning any awards, but it's also, like I said, there's good things and there's bad things. Best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good thing to keep in mind when going into things like this.
Yeah. Trip.
I've been on a horror kick, I guess, recently. My next one up is You'll Never Find Me, which is an Australian horror movie that's on Shudder. Very interesting movie. I wasn't sure what to expect going in. The poster kind of drew me because it's quite an interesting poster. But 87 on Rotten Tomatoes and 82 on Metacritic. And 6 out of 10 on IMDb. Basically, it's the story of, after a violent storm, a mysterious young woman appears at this guy's door seeking shelter from the elements. Patrick, a strange, lonely resident, lives in a mobile home at the back end of an isolated trailer park, and things go from there. It's an incredibly slow burn as you kind of unpeel the layers of what's going on with this situation. It's set in one room, basically, throughout this entire thing, and it builds, and to some extent you kind of get notions about what's going on because they really don't tell you what it is about until about halfway through, but it had my interest throughout, and where it goes, again, you can kind of guess at it, but it really holds your interest, and it's just two people talking for the most part. And
I have this so high on my list. I have even, like, got it. I so wanted to see this.
I hope you enjoy it, because it is, it's one of those ones, like, this is the definition of a slow burn. Like, I kind of got, what was it, 10 Cloverfield Lane, kind of, like, where it's a very isolated environment kind of a deal. It doesn't go in the same directions, but it kind of takes you on that route. And I don't know, it kept me enthralled, and I was not expecting that of this movie. Both actors are incredible, the dialogue is very natural, and it just, you kind of go, is it this, is it that, what is happening? So, yeah, it's, you can't trust either story until the end, and then you see kind of what's going on. Like, both are unreliable narrators, I guess. So, the use of sound is fantastic, and it's just, I don't think it's one I need to rewatch all the time, but it's definitely one I'm going to revisit to kind of look for those things. So,
cool.
I'd probably give it a 7.5, I think, or an 8. We'll go 8. Okay. So, yeah. But my I'm an unreliable narrator when it comes to movies. Like, take my reviews with a grain of salt.
Okay, Fro.
I'm going to talk about another movie that me and Luke saw together called The Damsel with Millie Billy.
It's pretty close.
Millie Bobby Brown in the lead. Some other people in it. It's Angela Bassett. Robin Wright was in it.
She did a thing. Angela Bassett.
She did a thing.
She did do a thing.
This has a 6.1 on IMDb, a 56% on Rotten Tomato. A young woman agrees to marry a handsome prince only to discover it was all a trap. She's thrown into a cave with a fire-breathing dragon and must rely solely on her wits and will to survive. So this is Die Hard, set in a fiction land with bad special effects other than the dragon. Nothing specially to write home at. I was bored most of the time, and that's saying a lot for a fantasy movie. It was also incredibly easy to guess what happened. Because in the first, 5 minutes, Luke said, oh, this is going to be the end. And that was the end of the movie.
Right.
Wow.
It was, I'm not a huge fan of the fantasy genre to begin with, but this one was just so, they made it super obvious from the very beginning.
So
but,
obvious.
I mean, that it could just be me. The dialogue was definitely bad in this as well. Just
terrible.
Very trite, very, obvious, and you know that certain parts of this, like Fro said, the special effects were good, and then all of a sudden they would be just terrible out of nowhere. At one point, it'd be really great, and then it was like, where are you spending the money? I'm confused.
Well, they used a lot of money on that fucking dragon, that's for sure.
Yeah, they definitely spent most time with animation on that. Yeah.
Their party piece, and that's kind
of
it.
It was like one of the main characters of the whole movie, so it was important.
It's not a terrible movie, but I can't get higher than a 4.5 from me.
I was going to say like a 4, maybe even a 3.5. It's just the problem. The problems were acting and dialogue, which combined make for a really annoying thing to watch, because you can have bad acting, and as long as the dialogue is okay and makes sense and you can follow the story well, or the other way around, but the two combined make for a miserable experience.
Yeah. Look.
I guess the last thing I saw this month was Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor and Billy Magnuson. Did you see this, Triv?
Yes.
It's on my list. I have not seen it yet. Because I have a real soft spot for Roadhouse, like the original Roadhouse, just because it's such a cult classic in its own right. I kind of just really enjoy it. Plus, I mean, a shirtless Patrick Swayze is never going to be something I'm not going to look at.
Well, you're going to get some shirtless guys in here, because Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal will probably spend 60% of this movie shirtless. So
at least,
if not in like a very thin tank top. So that's what you're looking for. But if you're looking for the movie Roadhouse, I don't think you're going to get that here.
No, what
right?
The fuck? I was watching this. And I was like, this is a remake of Roadhouse. Where is it?
Did you see White Man Can't Jump last year, Triv?
Yes.
It's about as much like White Man Can't Jump as the new one is like White Man Can't Jump.
So it shares a name, but that's like it.
A guy is a bouncer at a bar.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's about it.
Nothing else. Nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing has to do with the original.
If Will Smith and if they had Will Smith in this, they could have just called it Bad Boys 4, and it would have been like...
Well, and Bad Boys 4 is coming out like at some point down the way here, so that'll be Bad Boys 5, this could be Bad Boys 4.
Yeah, it could have been like a spin-off of it, like, you know, how...
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been like a Hobbs and Shaw situation, exactly.
Nice.
I don't know. It just felt like that kind of movie more than a Roadhouse. There's a lot, definitely some kind of connection with UFC, because there's a lot of UFC stuff happening in here. So obviously it was sponsored by that, and
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and they had Conor McGregor, and they went in a specific direction about him being like a pro fighter in his previously in his life. I don't know. It was fun, and it's like, you know, a popcorn turn your brain off kind of movie. It's not really a movie you're going to be like, oh, this is going to win awards and I'm maybe going Razzies? Into this expecting it to change my life and get deep meaning out of it. I wasn't expecting that. So I'd give it a 7 on that scale.
Yeah, I think I give it a 6.5 actually. I really didn't like this. It was fun, but it was like Luke said, it was a very turn your brain off movie.
Yeah, if you're expecting to go in and see Roadhouse, you're going to give it a way lower score. But
yeah,
I wasn't really expecting that. So
best way to do it when it comes to movies like that. Last one I got is a Netflix movie called Murder Mubarak. So it takes place in India. The version I watched was dubbed, not subbed, which, you know, you get what you get. But during a murder investigation, a non-traditional police officer turns a spotlight on an array of subjects. He steps into the world as an outsider, only to find out there is so much more than meets the eye. This is another one that I saw a poster for, and it looked really interesting. I'm not that familiar with Bollywood, so I'm not sure kind of like what is the traditional tropes and kind of what isn't. So, you know, you're trying to figure that out throughout the entire thing, but the movie itself was quite a lot of fun. It goes from funny to serious quite quickly, which was a little jarring, but the overall movie was amazing. Great suspense and thrill. It talked a lot about, like, rich versus poor folks and kind of motivations as they're trying to figure it out. It's kind of a whodunit, but it goes quite a lot deeper. It was, across the board, quite a funny movie. Like, it wasn't a horror comedy, but it's definitely, like, a suspenseful thriller with quite a few horror or comedy elements. So I'd probably give it about a 7. So, and I need to rewatch it just to kind of, like, catch some of the things that I missed, because I know just because I'm not that familiar with that, you kind of lose the translation a bit.
Right, yeah.
But highly suggested. It was fun.
Where was it available?
It was Netflix.
Netflix, okay, cool.
Yep.
Well, last movie I saw was Unmade Movies, the collection, 7 BBC Radio 4 adaptations of unproduced screenplays. That isn't a movie, it's a book. But I did read it, and you can go to audibletrial.com/ADC. That's audibletrial.com/ADC. And you can get that book or another medium that you use your ears for total free for 30 days. And you support this show. And if you don't want Audible anymore, well, you can cancel it and you get to keep the book or another medium that you'd use your ears on. So that's audibletrial.com/ADC.
All right, let's do another digital review of Dune 2. Give me a countdown, Fro.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
The day of prophecy has finally arrived.
It's the sphere from Las Vegas.
Kind of this. Prepare herself
for what is to come. I'm walking on sunshine.
It's
okay. Someone had Taco Bell.
Tell me, what was it about?
How would you deal with this prophet?
With this
problem. I think that's my best Christopher Walken.
Absolutely.
Is this Black Hawk down? What's going on?
Yes. Yeah.
I love not my hands forever.
Luke, I am your father.
They took everything from me.
I didn't know you could be a father.
Well, occasionally.
Consider what you're about to do.
Darth Vader was that exact color when they took his mask off.
That's how the Norwegian people look. Extremely white.
Direct. Again, someone went to Taco Bell.
I must not fear.
Alright, guys, this fight or the one between Iron Man and Captain America?
with us.
This is not prophecy. It's a story. Because I've seen this.
Popcorn
buckets.
Oh my
god, it's a giant. I was just going to say. Oh my god, 3 popcorn buckets.
You know those guys are afraid for their life, but at the same time thinking, you know what I could do?
One guy's in back and he goes, wood.
and then dies.
Exactly. So Luke, as I always ask, what is this Oscar-nominated movie all about?
That's right. Dune 2, Paul Atreides unites with Shani and the Freeman while seeking revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. Facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the universe, he must prevent a terrible future only he can foresee. 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 79 on Metacritic, 95% of Google users liked it. Denis Villeneuve, Austin Butler, and Timothy Chalamet, as well as Zendaya. And a bunch of other people, obviously, but this was a pretty good scores for this movie. I've heard some bad things, but I've heard some good things. Fro saw this. Triv, did you see this yet?
I tried to, but every time I got time to go see it, it was already 20, 30 minutes in, and it's like, if you're going to see it, you got to see it from the start.
And your bladder has to be cleared, apparently. Fro,
that too.
What'd you think, though?
I thought this was better than the original. No joke. I really, really
original meaning the 1980s or the first movie?
Both.
Okay.
It's important to be clear there.
Right.
But this was really good. I liked it. I'm not going to say it was the best movie I ever seen, but I thought it was good enough.
Okay. What would you give it score-wise?
I give it a 9. 9 out of 10, yeah.
Well, that's better than good enough. A 9.
Yeah.
Jeez, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I said, I really liked it.
We've talked about the popcorn bucket controversy. Was there any other big controversies around this besides that? I mean...
I had the popcorn bucket, and I can say I didn't fuck it afterwards. I didn't just threw it in the trash.
You just threw it away? Okay. You didn't keep it as a collector's item or whatever?
No, I didn't take it home and fuck it. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, man. You could have gotten on eBay and made bank on that for the way I hear.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did see the guy on TikTok that makes things into fleshlights made it into a fleshlight, so there's that.
Wow. That's got to be one of the most uninspired fleshlights ever, though, because it's already a fleshlight.
He does a lot of movie-themed things. He did, like, a Beauty and the Beast one when that came out, and, yeah, he's on the trends.
Good for him. One other drama thing I did hear about was I can't remember her name. There's a little kid that's supposed to be in this near the end with, like, massive amounts of power. And in the 84 version and in the book, she's, like, a bigger part of it. And here she's not born yet, so she's doing whatever she does from, like, in the womb. So that was a point of contention for some folks. Like, it doesn't end the way that the book did, but it also is kind of opening itself up to be, like, the middle piece of a trilogy. So
I think they already are. They've said they're coming out with another one.
Yeah, they said they are going to make another
one. Oh, they officially did now. Okay.
Right, yeah. And I heard the same thing when I was looking at reviews, is that one person even said they wish it would have wrapped up and then started anew, because that's how the books did it, where this was trying to, like you said, be a trilogy. And I think they were mostly coming from a perspective of somebody who did read the books or whatever. So
as someone that has read the books, I still think this was giving me very much vibes of, like, the book. I really liked what he did with the book here, or the movie, sorry.
I saw another person when I was looking at reviews saying they've changed this movie. I don't know if they were talking about the book or they were talking about the original film. the 80s films, saying that it went from being like anti-imperialist type story to like just the regular everyday hero story that you see all the time. But
I do agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that.
And then there were memes about Zendaya looking like Grumpy Cat, which I don't know.
She does.
I don't know if it's funny or not. I can't figure it out.
I also saw that there was the outfit that Zendaya wore to one of the premieres was this silver, very futuristic piece.
Okay.
And it looked like the Cyberwoman from Torchwood, which is from, like, it's a Doctor Who spinoff from the, like, mid to late 2020. Yeah, like 2006 or 2008 or something like that. And, like, if you compare them side by side, it's quite interesting, but obviously Zendaya wore it better, so we'll just say that she wore it better.
Okay, let's get some reviews. Who wants to start, I guess? Fro, why don't you start?
Okay, I will do that. I found this on Rotten Tomatoes. This is Satvian K that said, a boring with terrible CGI of worms that just looks like a sandstorm. They could easily have trimmed 30 minutes of the running time by shorting the camera pans and people glaring into the camera.
Let's see, I went to Facebook. Donna Oliver says, the Dune movies. Movies for people who don't read good. I guess so.
This is from Common Sense Media, Joseph S. This movie was skibbity in every sense of the word. It is possibly the most Sigma giant movie I have seen all year. Not only did the Alphas have Riz in Ohio, but the Sandworms Giat was magnificent. The movie was bussin', OMG, for real, bussin'. And no cap, really? It belled my jingles.
Okay.
Nice. You liked it, I guess, maybe?
Yeah,
my
definitely.
Thoughts, yes.
Yeah. Fro?
I found one, again, on Rotten Tomatoes. Zach R. said, this movie was boring and the action was subpar, but hey, very okay, has good taste. Whatever that means.
Kurt Rivero says, this movie cured my cancer, so that's good.
What?
That's pretty impressive, actually. This is the best movie ever, I think, possibly.
Wow. If it cures cancer, yeah.
It's a pretty good movie.
Absolutely. My turn?
Your turn.
Yep.
Laura L. says, dark, disturbing, and sadistic movie that will weigh on your soul. Incredibly violent, sarcastic, and nausea-inducing. Another reviewer hit the nail on the head. Something felt wrong watching this incredibly dark film on screen, and it induces an incredibly heavy weight on the soul. It's well made with an interesting story. However, you have to ask yourself, what are the long-term consequences to your mind of viewing this kind of disturbing imagery? My husband regretted taking our teenage boy to this and even regretted watching it himself. I honestly feel like there are kids creating Common Sense Media accounts in order to add their opinion on movies and sway parents' decision-making. Some of these adult reviews for incredibly violent movies stating 5 stars or 5+ and insinuating educational value, no capitalization or proper grammar. I think there needs to be better vetting to ensure viewer quality.
That sounds like Common Sense Media to me.
Yeah.
Thomas gave it 1 star and said, I walked out halfway through it.
Walked through the dune? Wow, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. On the
halfway through it.
Facebook, a lot of people were saying, this is on the Dune Facebook page, they were saying, you know, this is a common thing I've seen since the pandemic, I guess, but a lot of people saying, like, I don't go to theaters, this is from Eric Cologne, says, if it's not in 3D, why would I go see it in the theater? Susan Alexander saying, I don't go to theaters. I'm in a wheelchair. Let us buy it on cable. And somebody below it says, cable?
Like, what the fuck? Who the fuck plays with
evil.
Right.
I got one more here from Wee Ping. Outer space is awesome. Cringing face, pizza emoji, heart emoji, okay emoji, face with heart emoji, brain emoji, eye emoji, red feet emoji, tooth emoji. I really like the big worm. It was cool. Also, outer space is really fun. I want to go there someday. Dune 2 is awesome. I really like it.
You want to go there? Okay.
Plus, it has outer space, which is really cool. I wish there was more outer space things. And, like, spaceships would be really cool. But apparently it has too much consumerism for his very advanced taste.
Okay. I had one last one from Keith S. He said, it's a GT, meaning Game of Thrones. It's a GT ripoff, but pretty good. And then the comments below it are all like, this was written in the 60s, my guy.
I mean, it's not untrue, to be fair.
Okay.
Okay, coming next month, I will start with some movies I'm looking really much forward to. One of those is The Monkey Man, or Monkey Man.
Monkey Man, oh, yeah. With Dev Patel.
Dev Patel, yeah. It looks so fucking interesting.
Yeah, it really does. The First Omen also looks terrifying. I mean, from the trailer, it looks super scary. I'm really looking forward to that. I think was the last Omen movie, the origin one or whatever, a long time ago.
The shit one, yeah.
Yeah, which was terrible. Yeah, so
it was terrible.
But this one looks a lot better. We'll see if it actually is.
Absolutely. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare sounds really interesting. Plus, you can't go wrong with Harry Cavill, Henry Cavill.
Yeah, that definitely looks good. And then Civil War, which was like my number one of movies I was looking forward to seeing at the beginning of the year when we talked about that.
Absolutely.
I'm actually looking forward to Arcadian with Nicolas Cage. Yeah,
nice.
It looks really, really fun.
I don't know anything about it. It's called Cinderella's Revenge. I don't know if it's going the route of, like, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey or not, but it sounds like, by the poster, it looks quite interesting, so...
Is that, like, a domain thing where, like, the story has been released recently? Or because I hadn't heard about that, but...
I'm pretty sure. So, like, there was a story that had come out talking about the... I don't remember. I think they were joking, but it was the Pooniverse. Like the Winnie the Pooh, like not the Poon-iverse, the Pooh.
The Pooh-verse.
Pooh-verse, we'll say, just say Pooh-verse, which is no better.
Pooniverse. Pooniverse.
Pooniverse.
Yeah.
but it was like Winnie the Pooh, Peter Pan, Cinderella. There was a couple of others. Anyway, all of these things that are either have recently come into the public domain or are already in the public domain and kind of recreated them as low budget horror. So my thought is that's probably what this is, but I'm not 100% sure.
According to this list, we are getting an untitled M. Night Shyamalan project. So
we'll see. I hope it's Avatar the Airbender version 2.
Right, V2.
Electric Boogaloo.
It also says untitled Nicole Richie film.
It does. An untitled Universal event film look.
Right. The other one that I saw all the way down at the very end of the month is Boy Kills World with Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah.
It says a dystopian fever dream action film that follows a boy, a deaf person with vibrant imagination. When a family is murdered, he is trained by a mysterious shaman to repress his childhood imagination and become an instrument of death. Okay. That sounds pretty badass, and I like Bill Skarsgård, so.
And speaking of badass, I mean, they're redoing Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yeah, that was definitely... I actually loved that movie when I was a kid, but I don't think it needs to be remade.
No.
Well,
I would agree.
We're getting a re-release of Gone of the Wind, so there's that. With the Wind. Racist movies ever, by the way.
That's true.
I will agree with you on that front, but to be able, as a fan of classic stuff, I would go see it just to see it on the big screen because that's what that movie was made for.
Sure,
but agreed, from the racist aspect, Yeah.
Are they going to edit that out like Disney did with their movies? Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead. Are they going to do like a twist on that at all? Like 2024 twist where like, I don't know, the babysitter's
dead. Where you show up and there is a mom. There is a mom and the babysitter does die, but otherwise it has nothing to do with it. It actually takes place in outer space.
Right. Something like really, like a weird twist to it. Because how else... They can't. I mean, I guess you could just make that movie again, but it just seems like something you wouldn't want to just redo. I don't know.
What? Who knows?
I'm sure it will be amazing.
Right.
I sense sarcasm.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for me on there. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Coming next week, news of the week. The Tron Tells the Truth will be back. TV of the last 2 weeks we'll cover. Not a lot happening this week, so hopefully it won't be too bad if it's not too bad this week, I guess. Eurovision reviews next week coming back. Any ideas, Fro?
Yep. We are doing the Ace next week. We are doing Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Austria.
Azerbaijan always seems to come with something hot, so I always look forward to Azerbaijan. I don't know what it is about them, but they always seem to try.
They definitely do.
All right, let's talk about Immaculate, which I've seen a few articles and a few news places talking about this, but Immaculate Studio promoting film knows the audience. The City CD-led produced Nunsploitation movie takes Nunsploitation? Okay.
Yes.
Takes place in a dreary and disgusting covenant. With a premise like that, naturally it's drawn the ire from Christian and conservative media. The very end of the film particularly seems to be striking a nerve. Okay. Over the weekend, the film's released several tweets reacting went viral, and the producers used those tweets in their tweets to promote the film. Yeah. Mm. So they definitely, I don't know, is this good marketing or bad marketing? Good press is all press is good press or what?
I think this is going to be okay. I think the press is okay. I have seen people really, really recommending this, so I'm really looking forward to seeing this, actually.
Yeah. I think it looked interesting, too. And, I mean, just the cover art alone, where you've got Sydney Sweeney as, like, kind of Virgin Mary. I mean, I think that alone would draw the ire of a lot of people, much less everything else that's come after that. Because you could have the most basic of things, and it's going to strike a nerve with folks if they want it to, you know, that need to be... you know, oh, absolutely outraged by something. And that's a pretty old thing. I did hear with this one, and I don't know how it all goes, but people on the far right were really enthralled or thought Sydney Sweeney was all about them, but she actually bought or worked for the past 10 years to be able to get this movie made. So they were like, well, she's with us, and then it turns out that she's not really with them, so...
Aww, I'm sure they are crying.
There was the whole thing that her family apparently is super MAGA, if you've ever seen.
Oh, yay!
There was like a photo that came out of her at her father's birthday party or retirement party or something, and everybody in the background is just MAGA'd out, like hats and shirts and everything else. That doesn't mean she is on that side of the political aisle, but people... then assumed that she was, right? Because of that, yeah.
Mm.
I saw some quote, and I don't have the context for it, but they said that her boobs were woke.
Oh, no. What it was is that they broke wokeness, because she's like a blonde woman with big boobs, and so having that as, like... They think that Hollywood doesn't want that as, like, the stereotype, the role model. They want, like... androgynous more people that's what the right think, and so for her to be like the leading lady, they think that breaks wokeness. That's what the whole thing is, because she's blonde and has big boobs, right?
That's amazing.
I mean, her boobs aren't even that big. They're just normal, nice boobs. Yeah.
Normal boobs. Jesus Christ, I've seen bigger on me.
Frody, your boobs break wokeness as well?
Yes, they very much do.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I know that...
I break wokeness every day when I get up and use them.
I know that Sydney Sweeney would look good in that Borat leotard. That would be super hot, but Rebel Wilson is not happy with Sacha Baron Cohen. She's calling him an asshole that allegedly threatened to block the release of her memoir. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
He said that it's just never ever happened, so... But
so he's like saying that it's slander, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She looks like she put out an Instagram story. Yeah. I will not be bullied or silenced by high-priced lawyers or PR crisis manager. The asshole that I am talking about in one chapter in all caps of my book is Sacha Baron Cohen. And I guess in this book, she calls him a massive asshole she encountered in the industry. She shared that she intended to dedicate the whole chapter to the person, but she didn't want people to know his name. But then when he sued her for release of the book... So in the book, it doesn't say his name. But now she's releasing his name because he was trying to block the release of the book. Because he knew it was him, I guess? Okay.
Right.
I don't know.
How would he have known if the book hasn't been released unless it
because
was through
the
boss? Because
he knows he's an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, we damn near saw his asshole in, Borat, if nothing else, so,
It must have got leaked to him somehow, maybe through the publisher or something. Somehow his lawyers found out about it, right?
Ah.
Maybe to release the book, because it had that stuff in it, they were like, maybe originally it had his name, right? And so they were like, oh, we'll run it by his lawyers and see if they're going to sue us. Then they took the name out.
Mm.
And then that could have been how he found out. Yeah.
Probably.
I'm just trying to, short of like, I don't know. The worst, if that's the worst thing you're called as an asshole in a Hollywood memoir of all things, that feels quite, and regretted not in Hollywood and all that, but that's just... It's not like it's coming out from Bruce Willis or some... I mean, not to say Rebel Wilson, she's obviously a very accomplished actress, but she's not like superstar status where someone's going to go, well, I'm not... she doesn't have that sway over Hollywood, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
She's not Tom Cruise.
Right.
Yeah, that's just it. I haven't read the book, and I don't see a lot of info on, like, what it actually says. So, like... It could go into depth about why he's an asshole that we don't know about. Right. All right, Jeremy Round. Anybody got any random internet stuff going on?
Yeah, the princess has cancer, and I don't believe it.
Fro doesn't... what do you think? It's like a psyop to, like, avoid...
So the whole thing is like, okay, so the princess of the UK... have cancer, and if it's true, it's terribly sad and all those things. I just think the timing of everything reminds me of Wag the Dog, and I just think she's shit at photoshopping, and she's like, oh, I don't want everybody to be angry at me, because not only did this, they grew back in time and found other, like, Photoshop things from the royal family.
Right.
So I think it's a little like, feel bad for me, I have cancer.
I think it's a little, I believe her. It's strange that two of them have cancer all of a sudden at the same time.
Weird.
The timing's so fucking weird, Luke.
I also understand, like, her not wanting to reveal how she looked for a long time if she was going through chemo, right? I can understand that, I guess. But the way they went about trying to prove that she wasn't dead or, like, kidnapped or something like that, that whole sequence of events could have been done better.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, and how do you not, like, the photoshopped Mother's Day thing that they put out back earlier this month?
Right.
you could have, that was a pretty obvious thing to see. Like, if you're like eyes on every little pixel, and to not have seen that, it almost feels intentional.
Oh, especially when there was already so much scrutiny about everything, every picture that had already come out of her, like paparazzi stuff and things like that.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. So many memes too. Oh my God.
I saw Lynx yesterday. Is that some news we can talk about?
What's Lynx?
A lynx? The animal?
Oh.
Oh, you saw a lynx. Okay.
Yeah, I saw a lynx yesterday. I was out and about, and I was stopping outside the post office because I was getting something. And all of a sudden, I saw this big cat, and I was like, that's a huge cat. And someone that was with me is like, that's not a cat, that's a lynx.
That's pretty wild. I thought you were going to say you went to the zoo or something. Yeah.
No.
Right. That's pretty cool. Well, cool and also somewhat terrifying.
I have that at home. A zoo.
Didn't try and hug it and go, kitty!
Have you seen the J-Lo memes that she's like...
Yes.
Everybody thinks that J-Lo has been faking her music and stuff now for like since the 90s.
Yep.
Apparently there's videos coming out of like, this is J-Lo's real voice and it's her singing in like a concert or something. And that another thing that she's famous for is being Jenny from the Block or whatever, from that song. And then people went and talked to people from that area and they're like, I don't know that family.
She
we don't know
lived
her.
There.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny. I don't know if any of it's true. It's all just like internet drama, but it's funny no matter what.
Oh, absolutely. There was a whole bunch. So there's a documentary that came out called Quiet on the Set, which talks about like the behind the scenes of like Nickelodeon and all that stuff. There's a bunch of people talking about the schedule on Nicktoons, for what there would be without all of those related shows.
Right.
And it's essentially like all SpongeBob with exception of like three-hour blocks Monday through Thursday or something like that.
Which is basically what Nickelodeon is now.
Yeah. It's like Law and Order on BBC America. It's literally all that they show.
Didn't J-Lo start on Nickelodeon? Also, she was in she was one of the Fly Girls on that In Living Color. Was that Nickelodeon?
No, that was FX or VH1, isn't it? Or wasn't it? Maybe.
Let me look it up. In Living Color. I remember, I could be wrong, but, oh, it's Fox. Wow, okay.
Oh.
It was a channel I didn't have as a kid, which I didn't have Fox as a kid, believe it or not. Yeah.
Mm. The Jordan Peterson versus Destiny debate. Jesus Christ almighty.
Destiny's
that was crazy.
Debating everybody right now. He's like, is it any? Yeah. I'll take on all challengers, is what Destiny is doing.
He's like, I'm going to get everyone. Yeah, no.
He's been in like six debates in like 2 weeks. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it was super interesting. I feel like he's hitting some good points. I don't agree with all things Destiny believes, but he's very on the left side. But his conversation with Jordan Peterson was really, really good, and it made Jordan Peterson look like a dumbass. So
it doesn't take much.
We gotta talk about P. Diddy, right? You guys.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Diddy's house was raided. I guess multiple houses, right? Because he's got one in L.A. or something and one in Miami or somewhere in Florida. He's got multiple houses, Orlando, something like that. But I don't think he's been arrested yet. Let me look it up because it might have changed while we were doing the podcast for all we know.
He was trending under the diddler.
Yeah, apparently it's for sex trafficking and they added just to this morning... Cuba Gooding Jr., connected back to movies. I guess P. Diddy's been in movies too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr. has been added to the lawsuit, apparently.
Wow.
I don't...
It doesn't look very good.
They were pulling out computers and all different things from the house, is what I heard. So they're looking for evidence. Maybe that's why they haven't arrested him yet. I don't see anything about him being arrested, but TMZ footage shows Petey walking through Miami airport. Why hasn't he been arrested yet? Did he make lawyers. A run for it?
I would say lawyers, but who knows? He could have run.
If he's in the airport.
Yeah.
P. Diddy airport?
Would be funny, though. I hope you run.
He's coming out of the closet the same as R. Kelly.
P. Diddy seen with federal agents at airport, according to TMZ.
Oh, wow. So he was running.
No, they didn't arrest him. TMZ saw him with the agents as it says, Diddy was faced with federal agents, Monday as they intercepted his plane. TMZ now has photos showing the interaction. This is his associates were taken into custody. This picture here, I'll send you I'll put it in chat. Boop, boop. There we go. There's a photo of him in front of a private plane. So, yeah, he could have run. I don't know. It says they arrested this guy, Brendan Paul. As reported, cops say they found cocaine and weed in Paul's travel bag. He was later booked and released. Yeah. As reported, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they've arrested P. Diddy yet, though.
That would be fun.
Diddy came out Tuesday and denounced the federal investigation as a witch hunt. So, that's what we know right now.
Of course he did. Yeah. Everybody's in a witch hunt.
It's definitely... Well, we'll talk about it next week, me and Fro. So, anything else, you guys?
Absolutely.
There's a documentary coming out on the untold story of the environmentalist lawyer and human rights activist Robert R. F. Kennedy Jr.
Okay. He picked his running mate today, actually. People weren't happy with that.
Was it Aaron What's-His-Nuts?
No, it's a woman I've never heard of.
So there goes the Vegas bets on him picking the former Packer quarterback, or there were two others that were like, why would you pick this person? What the hell?
Nicole Shanahan, a wealthy lawyer.
Of course.
Never,
I mean, she looks familiar, but I've never heard of her. Somehow.
I just think it's weird that he's married to, is it Cheryl Hines?
She is, yeah.
That's so odd.
What?
Do you know that? Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Well, you've learned something new. Congratulations.
When we saw that...
What the fuck?
That cooking show with, what's her name, where they were in the restaurant and she had dinner with Jimmy Kimmel and Cheryl Hines, she talked about RFK. That's when I found out about it initially.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's been married to him for a while. I mean, he's a Kennedy.
What?
But and that probably means she's also anti-vax, but...
Oh, she's massively anti-vax.
Yeah.
She seems so nice!
Fro, I'm so sorry.
I'm sad now.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin your Wednesday.
No, it's ruined anyway, so better.
Oh, no.
I'm patting you on the head.
All right, anything else? I think we covered it all, unless Fro has something else.
Nope.
All right, well, we'll see Triv next month when we're going to talk about another digital review of Civil War, and me and Fro will see you guys next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Another digital citizen.